Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Beyond the Hive. We are finally back with preseason, and even more importantly, we are back with Pete Lidstone, who has rejoined us after taking a sabbatical from the Hornets. Yeah.
Thank you. I'll be here all podcast.
Excellent. And, you know, we can't also go on without mentioning James Boo, James Boo 9 on Twitter.
That's the introduction Pete gets. He goes MIA for the best part of 2 months, and he gets one one sentence.
Yeah. Do you want to give fair, him a?
I think geez, it's more than I deserve.
There's some big things that have happened in the world since Pete's last appearance. So yeah, how's life, mate? What's changed?
I'd probably describe the biggest thing that's gone on, I guess, in my life so far is that last week there was a London derby between two football sides, and well,
okay. I walked into that one, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Well, the thing is, Arsenal is so bad right now. We just lost to Burnley.
Yeah, you did as well.
That's not an achievement. I'm not, I'm an Arsenal fan, so I don't like Tottenham. But the first time we talked, I was like, I really like Kane, Son, and Ndombele as players. So, yeah, you know, Spurs are in great form. Good on them. You know, they've won how many trophies in their existence. So it's good to see them, you know, excited again. And don't worry, man, I'll be here to put an arm around your shoulder when you guys inevitably choke the title race again.
And likewise, when you get relegated, yeah. I will be... Putting arm around your shoulder.
I'm a proper championship football fan. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm a big Huddersfield man, you know. I don't actually watch the games, but, you know, I'll retweet the occasional Huddersfield post. But, you know, that's what proper footy, you know, footy's about, you know. You know, two-footers in the Achilles or the ankle or at the knees, you know, martyr balls, you know.
And
rugby,
pints after the game,
long throw-ins, yeah, and all that. You know, that's what I'm about. So, you know, Arsenal and Huddersfield in the championship. That's a dream right there.
Kelly, but we're missing a member, yeah, aren't we?
We are. We're down.
Yeah, we are
down. Joseph Nation, who I guess I don't know if he's catching strays on Twitter or if it's just shadow tweeting out some other member of our show, but Joseph has taken some time off to catch up on some stuff. So just a three-man show today, but we have plenty to talk about as the Hornets got rolling in the preseason against the Raptors. And for the first time, at least that I can remember, the Hornets are somehow nationally relevant despite getting blown out by the Raptors. It's fine. Yeah. This is about the most exciting thing. So yeah, we can just hop right in and talk about some of the things we saw, some of the things we liked. I'm going to start with the first possession. I think it was the first possession that the Hornets had, or maybe it was the second, where Ooh. PJ pulls down a missed shot and just goes coast to coast.
Yes. Oh, my God. Jeez. Oh, my God. That was hard, man. And did he like also take someone off the dribble and get to the rim and just like freaking blow away?
Yeah, had a little bit of rust.
Like, I think so much of when it comes into preseason, we are starved of news. So we listen to these interviews from the coaches and the players and stuff, and we're trying to, you know, make links and form articles and whatever. We take whatever scraps they give us, and so every once in a while.
Just
the things kind of like
things marketing approach.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm potting my own medium, the one that allows me to write for them, but that's what we do here. Keep going.
Sorry. No, it's cool. I guess sometimes, you know, the narratives that the team will come up with, the coach with, the players, you just don't know if it's true because everyone's, you know, saying that they had the best off season ever in the world and they've added this to the game or whatever. But one thing that consistently PJ mentioned throughout all his like interviews and stuff was that he was working on being more of a playmaker and creator, and like first possession, he did something I don't think I saw him do the entire of last season. And you're like, yeah, he blew the layup, but like, yeah, it's created an advantage.
It's clearly like a different, like it's clearly a different mentality, I guess. That's the thing though. Like you say, we didn't see it all of last season. Actually, though, in preseason, PJ ran a few fast breaks after getting the rebound, and well, that quickly disappeared because that's the issue with Borrego. Like, so we tried playing that fast paced style. I think Roger mentioned this in his post game interview or something like that, or pre game, you know, one of those, you know, training camp ones. And he mentioned how there were heavy turnovers when we tried to play that heavy pace style. So we went back, but so we're naturally like a conservative coach. So, and the thing is, it's a, like, what happens if we play heavy turnover style again? Because, you know, like stuff like this, it takes adjustment. And the thing about like heavy pace, especially when you got a guy like LaMelo Ball, who's just throwing, you know, lasers with the left hand to guys who are barely crossing half court and getting them in stride, like that's going to encourage others to be more expressive too, right?
I think so.
And that's naturally going to result in a heavy, I think so. Like, because that's the thing, like, the thing about empowering your power forward to grab a rebound and go is, yeah, it's trying to play, like, you have to take risks to play fast. There's I don't think there's any doubt about that. Otherwise, it's not but the optimist side would be, you know, PJ Miles, they've clearly taken steps with their ball handling, well, hopefully, and then, you know, so the turnovers cut down, and then of course it's different, you know, having LaMelo Ball and Gordon Hayward as opposed to your, well, last year it was really Malik Monk was the only guy who would grab the rebound and go, and then the next guy was Miles, and Miles was a heavy turnover guy. So we do have some safer fast break initiators today, but I'm not sure if it's going to be a team wide thing for the whole season. I could very much see it be like, you know, a LaMelo Ball kind of, he sees the outlet pass to whoever, Cody Zeller, Malik Monk, Jalen McDaniels, Miles Bridges, whatever, he's going to make it. Everyone else, I could see them kind of slowing down a bit as the year goes on. But, I mean, for now, yeah, it is good to see that pace. It's always exciting.
Yeah, and logging, what was it, like 20 turnovers through three quarters? Probably not a great sign for continuing it, but I think it was exciting. Yeah. So,
There was a lot of like, you know, just pure like rust turnovers. I'm not too worried about that. And then it's difficult, you know, shocker here, but it's difficult to play half court offense, running through LaMelo Ball, Cody Martin, Caleb Martin against a Raptors team which is extremely good at defense, against a Raptors team that specifically schemes to, they sag off shooters, you know, a little bit, and then whenever there's penetration, they blitz really hard. So if you have three guys who are passing up wide open threes to dribble around and do nothing, it's going to be hard to play half court offense, and that naturally leads to turnovers. But I think most of them were like rust. So you know, hopefully that cleans up. As we move forward. Yeah.
Another scheme.
I don't think there's. I don't think there's necessarily a team in the league who, you know, will look at their turnover rates over the entirety of preseason and be like, that's where we need it to be. Like, there's a lot of people that haven't played basketball in a while. And from what, I mean, this is just, you know, me spitballing here. I don't think we're necessarily going to be as crazy fast-paced team as, you know, people necessarily expect we might be. Which is not necessarily a terrible thing, but like it's like we're going to go from 30th paced, you know, offense, and if we make the leap to 15, that's a huge ass leap, and a lot of these players haven't, you know, played that style for a significant amount of years or as many years as they've been with the Hornets. So yeah, you know, first preseason games and probably a fair few games in the regular season as well. Like, it's not exactly going to be a tight ship, but, you know, what the Raptors had 17 turnovers to our 22. I mean, I don't think there's any side that's going to be particularly happy with the lack of rust on the team, except for maybe the Brooklyn Nets starters, because they came out fucking firing.
Wow, I did not watch that game, so that sounds crazy. Apparently they did look like they could break some offensive records.
Yeah, I don't think Durant or Irving looked like they'd lost a step at all. They were so focused. It was really scary.
Oh my god. Okay, I really need to watch this. Yeah, I might bail out in this podcast now to go watch that. Yeah, I think with the pace, you know, where we end up in the league, though, I think I remember the Sacramento Kings, they played super slow, you know, run through Zach Randolph down low 1 year. And then the next year, they went all balls to the wall pace, and they went, I don't know exactly if they were first or not, but they were clearly known for just outrunning teams. And I think just getting LaMelo Ball alone would get us to 15, to be honest, because that is hyperbole, but LaMelo Ball, Gordon Hayward, just adding more ball handlers that can actually run the break, I think it's going to help us. Because, like, you know, like Malik Monk especially, and I think probably maybe like a couple of times post-All-Star break, Cody Martin, they would like opportunistically run the break if they could. Especially for Monk with series success. I think we settle. I don't think we'll settle any like lower than 10th in the league for pace. I could see us being top five, and in spite of that, not actually being, you know, balls to wall pace like we look like we were in the first year.
And part of the pace thing is going to be the fast break, but then another part of it's going to be, how much of the shot clock does it take to actually get a good look? And so having guys like Hayward,
yes,
who can create his own shot, and hopefully Malik back off the COVID, that'll be huge. Like, you know, not taking the full shot clock to dribble into the middle of the paint and throw a grenade out like someone who I won't name. We can roll it on. How about some other things we saw, and James, you kind of mentioned this in your initial thing, but I wanted to go back to it, where the three pointers, particularly once the second unit got in there, like we were creating actually seemingly good looks for the guys, but they just weren't taking the shots, and where everybody was trying to draw the shooter out or draw the defender out and then go by them, and it just kept resetting. So hopefully that's something we touch up on. How did you guys feel about
that? There's something I want to touch on first before we get into that. Also, I think the half court offense, it was distinctly different too. Like, it wasn't just the pace. We ran just a lot more motion. Like last season, I thought we were pretty much a Kemba, like Devontae became a Kemba imitation, not just, you know, bombing threes and carrying us over the line, but also just, It was repetitive, spread pick and roll, spread pick and roll, spread pick and roll. The occasional nice, well drawn up design play, like, you know, the delay 45 that led to Malik getting a few alley oops. But it was a lot of, you know, slow, boring spread pick and roll. This one, it was a little bit different. We got the ball into our big man at the high post, and we ran a lot of handoffs, a lot of motion. You know, guys just instinctively relocating, and I thought that was really good, except the fact that obviously no one hit shots. You know, Terry Rozier, it doesn't matter if it's pick and roll or off of a handoff, he's not really got a clue what to do there. Devontae and Hayward was definitely taking a step back. Like, there's no doubt about that. We'll get into that later more too. And then, you know, Miles and PJ, you know, they're a bit rusty, so. But I think it was promising that the half-court offense changed so much, because we do have so many more ball handlers this year. You know, as we've been saying, Miles, PJ, probably Cody Martin probably took a step there. And then you add that to Malik, Devontae, and now Hayward and Melo. It should be a much more, you know, egalitarian motion-based offense. And I think that's really good. I think that's I think fundamentally that's really good, just to involve all your players, empower all your players. And it's definitely easier on the eye, I think, than predictable spread pick and roll. Pete, you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. I think, so obviously when it goes that people are players weren't getting anything more than 20 minutes. And, you know, our key, what are we going to say, 9-man, 10-man rotation, they wouldn't be seeing the lineups which they had. For instance, I can't imagine a scenario where you're going to have two Martin brothers, Biyombo, and this is just, you know, throwing excess, but, you know, Ball there as well. You would have a combination of shooters because we have some great shooters. Graham, Rozier, Hayward, Washington, Cody Zeller is now, you know, 100% for three-pointers. That's our starting lineup.
To be fair, was he not the guy who shot 50% on corner threes or something?
something crazy. Last season. Jalen McDaniels.
That led to me losing my, what's it called? What's that segment that we did that kind of has been on?
A deep dive into the Hive.
Around the Hive. Deep dive into the Hive.
Yeah.
Jalen, yeah.
I mean, Jalen had one of the worst whiffs I've seen. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to affect his confidence. He just airballed a three and it wasn't even close. And then he hit the next two corner threes and it was amazing. So, but I'm just saying, like, you know, some of the lineups we have and offense did seem quite stagnant. Well, not stagnant. They weren't utilizing the opportunities they got, which I thought was a right shame, because that was one of the biggest notes I had for the Martin brothers, was just take that shot. When Cody Martin hit his first three after like a no hesitation thing, I'm like, yes, this is what they've been doing.
Yes.
And then it got later in the game and it just...
Fuck, that was beautiful. Yeah, it was a weird experience to be up 25-8. And actually, to be honest, it felt like we hadn't, like, you know, we were playing fast, but it felt like we weren't executing at remotely close to even regular season level. So, that's a little bit of an interesting feeling there. So back to Aaron's original question about passing up threes. I think, like, that will definitely, like, you can see, I think you put Malik Monk into that unit and it's going to tie up a lot of the loose ends. Obviously, I harp on about his off-ball defense so much, you know, just his ability to communicate, just being in the right spot, really. That's going to help a guy like Lamelo Ball. Malik and Cody Martin might be able to help cover for Ball on defense. I think we kind of hid Ball fairly well on defense, didn't overextend him. He actually did has some nice kind of screen navigations and contests from behind, I thought. So that was really promising. Once you put Malik in, because he's a guy, and we've seen him have, we've seen him have one very good performance against the Raptors where he just continuously got really deep into the paint and kicked it out. He's a guy that, you know, you're going to have to respect, you know, like, he's a guy who's, if he sees a stunt, he's not going to worry about that. He's going to keep going because he knows with momentum, nobody's getting in his way unless there's, you know, three help defenders at the rim. So, he's going to help a lot. He's going to get us even cleaner looks. I think we did generate good looks, decent looks that you want to see people taking, especially Cody Martin, just to prove that he's improved as a shooter. But we weren't, it could have been, we weren't getting super, like, clean looks, I thought. Like, I thought they were all kind of, you know, like, all, like, kind of okay B-plus looks, but no real A-plus looks. But regardless, if we were generating good looks, I wasn't watching as closely as probably, you know, a lot of people were. Malik's going to take them because he's a guy who, I think he really understands just the concept of flow in your offense. So he's going to take the shots. It's something I've been praising Justin James for. He missed two threes very badly in this Kings first hit up, but he just took them, and you need guys who are just, yeah, going to take it, keep the offense moving, no shot clock violation stuff, and Malik can definitely do that. The whole world still seems to think he's just a shot trigger happy pull-up guard, so, you know, maybe they'll be right.
What did you think of,
what
do you think of Hayward, Aaron? I mean, I know it's a limited view from what we saw him, but it's just kind of nice to see him with our guys, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez, did she just have a stroke there?
Yeah. I had a stroke, but no powering through.
Mansoor. No, I liked what I saw out of Hayward so far. He seemed to be in the right spot a lot. I don't know that his athleticism has taken as big a step back as a lot of people have, as I've read on a couple places. People are talking like he's kind of geriatric now.
I might have said something like that.
Yeah. Well, he's certainly not the spring chicken he was in Utah, but his game wasn't ever predicated on being the fastest guy or whatever. He seems at least still to be able to get to his spots, was passing when it seemed appropriate, grabbed the ball down and ran in fast break a couple times. I was impressed.
That's his game, man. He's just a guy who plays really, really smart basketball. So
which, you know, I thought it was fantastic. I know perhaps if we were to look at it, you want like a super flashy performance or whatever. It seemed like he was playing a little bit conservative, but then again, I guess he's trying to fill out his new teammates and doesn't necessarily want to, you know, be big daddy Willy and just, you know, slap everyone. The way he just seemed like he was going within the flow of the offense. And I thought it was quite kind of refreshing. That,
yeah, I did not really get that reference.
Oh, big daddy dicking is kind of like when you're a kid.
Oh, what is that? Just
and your father, obviously,
what gets a belt out and.
Well, that's one way of putting it.
okay.
no, so I thought Hayward. I just found it refreshing that when he got the ball, I actually felt like he could make like a move to go into the paint, and it's not some, you know, it's going to be a super contested thing.
He's a very under control player, isn't he?
It felt controlled, yeah. You know, I felt like that the possession was going to end up in a low percentage shot, or you know, go out of control into like a turnover or something. It just felt real controlled and steady, which is nice.
Yeah, and that's going to probably be a rare skill set on this team even this year because, I think like Monk is a, you know, like he's a make shit happen player, and one of his weaknesses actually is if his first move is cut off, he's not the best at keeping his dribble alive and making, continuing the play, I guess. Continuing to keep his handle alive in the paint and just rerun a play. Devontae, notoriously, our man, J.J. Joseph Nation, in his game, he was said for the first few months, he was picking his dribble up too early in the paint. So we don't really have, and then just Hayward's ability to get to his spot from the mid range, we just don't have it. At all, honestly, and exactly. Like that is beautiful to see. Just a guy who you know can get, 45 to 50% percentage chance look. And if the help comes, he's definitely gonna find the open shooter. So, he's absolutely a breath of fresh air. Like I like to pretend Malik Monk is some perfect player, but the fact that I'm calling him, our floor general is probably a bad indictment of the Hornets right now. But Hayward, he's a true, sort of high IQ, make everyone better, let the game flow sort of player. And that's the thing, if we do well, Hayward is not going to score that many points. If our offense is good, if Mars has actually taken that step, if Malik's taken, well, Malik has taken the step, so don't worry about that. But if Miles and PJ have taken that step, Hayward's going to cruise to 15-6-6 on maybe 50-40-90 sort of 50, because that's just the kind of player he is. I rewatched his Utah highlights, and he was still the same player, actually, more under control. I would have assumed, given he had all his athleticism, that he'd just be blowing by people and dunking on seven-footers. But still the same control, get to his spot in the mid-range player. And that actually does bode well for his future. So yeah, I mean, he kind of is what I think you expect. As Aaron said, maybe his athleticism maybe looks even better than some people had thought. So I mean, yeah, great performance.
How about the performance of yet another new face in Charlotte? Pete, what'd you think about LaMelo Ball? I was going to say Nick Richards, yeah, but I changed my mind about halfway through.
Yeah, I think we're not going to mention too much Kentucky basketball.
No, we're not.
No, I James knows your pain of a side that's not doing so well. we won't, you know, uncover that wound. But as to do with LaMelo...
Aaron, as the creator of this Discord chat, do you have the right to like
to just boot him?
What do you think happened last time? So no. I'd say with LaMelo, I think it's quite funny seeing. Oh, hey guys, sorry. Can we pause a sec? I'm just running out of battery.
You sure?
Oh god, this I'm gonna have to unfollow some guy on
okay, sorry guys, I'm back. You were clapping back on that.
What the fuck? Rishon Holmes looks tiny.
That's the sound of a angry tweet.
Fucking hell, man.
Just I'm
incensed. you can come at my family, but you can't come at Rishon Herbs. Like that is a lesson to our listeners, you know. that's a one way ticket to an anger filled 3-word rebuttal that's, you know, not very good. Pete, Melo.
What?
Do you want me to get into my point about Melo, my main one?
Yeah.
Cool. So LaMelo Ball, I think it was quite interesting to see the sheer difference of how media perspective was of him going from, you know, the sports center or the very much highlight orientated aspect of people just losing their minds over Ball, compared to the ones that are very stats orientated and we're looking sheerly at, you know, points scored and field goal percentage, followed by people that actually watch the game and can see like very real middle ground.
Oh, woo! Someone get him a fan.
Yeah, no, I thought what I saw from LaMelo was a lot of promising shite. Just, I think we were so, yeah, I mean, I was probably of the most optimistic of the podcast. I was, I had the biggest drop off from going from, in our draft picks, you know, Edwards or Wiseman to Ball, just because I thought it had such a chance to be so terrible. Not that he didn't have the highest ceiling and kicking ass and shit, but like I just thought it had a chance to be awful. And a lot of my fears were dissuaged with, you know, the practices leading up to this and also the game itself. Like a lot of the hype and shit was saying that, you know, you can do this stuff in JBA, you can maybe do this stuff in Australia, but you can't pass like this in the NBA. And that is
a rubbish.
You are?
That is an absolute rubbish criticism. That's like, you know, that's as good as, you know, like Malik Monk can't play defense or something.
I can't tell if you're dissing me or not.
No, I think he's agreeing with you, but it is definitely a take that was out there.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, there's certainly different things he needs to work on. But like, if we just talk about the things he was awesome at, like he was great at injecting the pace you know, providing passes to the role man. He's just kick ass on the seller.
Amazing.
Yeah, what's that, man? Oh, sorry. You know, kick ass to the role man, and then, you know, full court heaves to Biombo, and then like little tricks of hand and stuff.
And Biz Cat caught it.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. Did Biz drop any passes yesterday? I feel like he...
He got another really hard one. I say really hard one. Like, it was behind him that LaMelo did, heading up to the basket again, like a little behind the back thing. Right. We got that too. So, beyond Bo and Ball, the new... our new star duo. I'm excited. obviously, didn't look so fantastic when he was taking a shot. Little things that we were worried about before. And defense-wise, not nearly as bad as I feared. What's it called? Digging super hard to get the rebound. I felt, very often, plays extend beyond the initial drive and that will be taken advantage of a later date. But it seemed like, I think Jane said that he really thought that he gave a shit and just, was really going at it.
Yes.
What do you guys think?
I'm going to be positive. I think all the criticisms about Melo's game yesterday, like they're pretty obvious to see from, you could have predicted them. Basically, Melo is physically underdeveloped. You could see Pascal Siakam. If you look at the Pascal Siakam push play, he actually barely nudges him. And Melo goes flying off balance. So, and you could see it on defense too. Like, he actually had some good... I thought he had some good technique getting around some ball screens, but just the fact that he has no strength means a little bit of a hip check, and he's all out of whack. But I think the main positive was he had some nice drives. I remember one drive on Terrence Davis Put some pressure on the rim. I don't exactly remember what eventuated. I'm going to guess, he kicked it out to Cody Barton, who passed it up, and passed it to Caleb, who passed it up, and, turnover. But and then he also had, there's one play on my Twitter timeline that I've posted where he actually looked like he was moving fast and covering ground. Getting around, running a pick and roll, and that stuff I didn't really see in his Australian tape. In Australian tape, he really struggled to cover ground just in general. And he didn't move very well. Really, he didn't look very athletic. He relied really on his handle and change of pace to get an advantage, but he couldn't maintain the advantage. It looks like he's made a bit of progress there. In terms of burst, and that's fucking huge, because that changes the whole calculus on him as a prospect. Well, it doesn't change it that much, because he probably hasn't taken a huge step, but the fact that he might be able to blow by guys, it is something real.
I think that's a really good point.
And I think that's what I took out of the game. The shot selection was still he still picked up his dribble too early in the paint, so, a lot of dodgy things. And then, my boy Filippo, he's my boy, but he completely misinterpreted my tweet about that inability to, keep his dribble in the paint. That's another thing, too. Like, Melo actually has a fabulous handle, as we've praised, effusively on this podcast. So, theoretically, he really should be able to keep his dribble, no matter how many guys are digging at it, in the paint. And there's no reason he should be picking up his dribble early to shoot a left foot floater from, I don't know exactly how many feet it was, but it looked like, it was outside the key, and it was like two steps in from the 3-point line, a left foot floater from there. That's not what you want to see. But that stuff that was always going to take time to be improved on, especially while he's got such an undeveloped body. You can't really begrudge a kid for not driving in all the way to get whacked by, you know, a beast like Aaron Baines or Alex Lane, because those are some very strong men. You know, Aaron Baines, you know, he's got a big dick, really. So I just wanted to
rest in peace, Tommy. I don't know if you
guys remember, but like we played Boston in a preseason game. And then the late Tommy Hines, and you know, said something about him having a huge schlong. But in our podcast with Miller before the draft, we said JNA said he's not afraid of contact. That's the main thing. So I think, you know, he'll just learn to pick his dribble up later, you know, as he gets more reps. So that's the reason, I guess, Borrego wants him to get a lot of pick and roll reps, which I disagreed with, but whatever. Because, you know, yeah, he needs to... There's still so much he can learn. Like, that's the thing with Miller's prospect. He is a fabulous, like, you know, exciting player who does a lot of really hard things to do extremely well. But he has barely played organized basketball, and JBA and Spire don't count as organized basketball, honestly. So, I think rookie year, he's going to, like, this shooting splits are going to be disastrous. He scored 0 points in this first hit out. It's not going to be the first time he scored 0 points. It's not going to be the last time he scored 0 points, I mean. And I think his shooting splits are going to be atrocious just based on that shot selection I saw. And obviously, he didn't hit any threes either. But, like, that's all fine. Like, we've drafted Miller. We're in it for the long run. If you're looking at it from that long-term perspective, the fact that he's worked on his body enough to look like he can get by some NBA defenders, some genuine good NBA defenders, that is immense. So I'm very happy with it. And as Pete and Pete said, and as Joe said, he tried on defense. And that's huge. You know, we need him trying on defense every single game. It's good that he came off the bench too, I think, too. Because, you know, I guess it sends a message that, yeah, he has to earn, if he wants to play starter minutes, he has to earn it. And I'm surprised by that from Borrego, to be honest, given, his coaching decisions in the past that I've critiqued endlessly on here. But, Melo, I thought, you know, yeah, great job, mate.
Yeah.
Very happy with this opening hit out.
Yeah. I also, on my part, you know, he makes me feel vindicated, because when I play on 2K, I always just pass the ball ahead all the time, not for any strategic reason, just because I want to, you know, I'm impatient. But he does it, and it makes sense. And that was much fun.
Are we gonna get into that? Because some of the hit ahead passes he had. Okay, oh my god. Okay, yeah. Let's get. I was really excited about a few things, apart from stuff I already mentioned. His eyes were freaking. He's got like eyes in the back of his head, as they say. Because in transition, if Miles and PJ got an early post steal, they had a baby on them in the paint. Miller was going right out there. That's actually something that Tyrese Haliburton for the Kings, who I thought would be able to do this, he was not doing it. Miller, he sees a passing window. He's fucking taking advantage, and it was so good to see, because Miles and PJ, you know, they're athletic guys and they're strong guys, man. Like, sometimes in NBA basketball, you run the floor, you're gonna get a guard on you. And if to have a ball handler like Melo, who's just gonna see that and he's just gonna take advantage, you know, Miles and Peter didn't seem to convert super well. But you know, that's Russ. So those were two of the best, two very promising post players we saw last year. I know, Aaron, you'll be happy with the fact that, you know, Melo can actually make a post entry pass.
Exactly.
That is so good. Like, this is something, you know, I was excited about with Melo, you know, before the draft, the fact that he's going to make Miles and PJ better, because he's got a little bit of floor general game. And I was so gassed to see that. And then the other thing, the hit-ahead passes to, you know, like the guys, you know, as they were crossing the half court, catching in stride, I thought that's going to combine insanely well with two guys, Grant Riller, who actually had a pretty good game, some nice bursts on the drives, you know. Caveat was that one was off the catch and one was in semi-transition, so a lot of momentum. So I'm not sure if the first step is going to look like that against set half-court defenses, but, you know, we can take that. So those early hit-ahead passes to a guy like Grant Riller, who can change direction like that, and to a guy like Malik Monk, who's just, you know, so explosive, and aggressive attacking the rim. Holy shit! Like there's gonna be some fun Hornets basketball this season.
Yes.
You know, now we just need to get rid of Rozier. You know, start Monk and Tay, which is our best backcourt, and then Rilla and Melo. Watch them tear it up off the bench in transition. Like, you know.
Hey. Wishful thinking. Do y'all want to touch on the center rotation real quick? Did you find it interesting, as I did, that Biombo was the second center off the bench, or was that just always going to happen? Do you think that's going to carry on into the regular season? Do you think one of the rookies will submit themselves in that role?
Well, I was hoping Vernon Carey would be the guy, but in hindsight, it feels really stupid. Because, you know, they're rookies who are not... Like, us and Nick Richards, who I saw... Like, I just saw him defend one pick and roll, and I'm just like, okay, well, this is not going to be NBA level his first year. So, the thing is, Biombo is just... He's rubbish, so... He's not better than Carey or Richards, even with those guys' serving experience, but whatever. Yeah.
The way I look at it is I think this season, Cody Zeller is going to play, injuries dependent. He's going to play more minutes at centre. PJ Washington is going to play more minutes at centre. And I just don't see the rookies playing that many minutes at centre until perhaps towards the end of the season, if, you know, development is shown. I think Biombo is going to play less minutes than he did last season, but still play a substantial chunk, which is not ideal. I don't think anyone's pretending it is ideal, but I think that's the way it panned out. I guess we could talk a little bit, though we have in the past, about PJ playing the five. Because that was a very real thing.
I've mentioned this on my Twitter, but PJ at the five is something that makes sense when you got, you know, a guy like Monk who can switch onto, you know, some forwards, and you know the rest of the lineup is switchable athletic wings. PJ Washington at the five, as I think we're going to use this year with guys like Devontae Graham, Terry Rozier, LaMelo Ball. It's just, it's like you want to, like, kill him, really, because it is so hard to play center in the NBA. So that's the thing, like, so if we play with those guys, do we switch 1-5 like we would with, say, Monk at point guard? If not, are we seriously going to make PJ drop against real big men when he's a sophomore who's, you know, like, why would you risk that injury risk? Like, I'm not sure. I'm not really sure. Like, the thing is, the good thing is that, you know, playing Biombo is that hopefully it just limits PJ to like 8 minutes a game at center, and he doesn't actually sustain any injuries. And PJ does look like he's bulked up a lot to play the center spot. And he still looks pretty mobile, which is really good. I love PJ at the five as an idea, but I don't love it with a bunch of small guards who can't switch. That's the thing. Like, with the other guys, like, when we're actually switching 1-5, you've got tanks like Miles Bridges absorbing some of the blows with you. You've got Cody Martin getting down and dirty as Crash Martin does. You got Jalen, who's occasionally switching onto fives, and he looks a lot stronger, by the way. He looks really filled in. You know, Hornets basketball's back, baby.
Man, I'm more optimistic on the switching stuff. I know you mentioned some not ideal stuff where you're looking at, you know, Graham and Rozier both being in the lineup with Washington. But for what we will probably not find out until the first few games of the actual season, like, Gordon Hayward, definitely switchable. Miles Bridges, I think he might see a little bit more love at the four.
Miles would be more sensible than Hayward.
Perhaps McDaniels make this into rotation. Like, I don't think we can view ourselves as not having a switching lineup.
That is true though. Brigo did say he's got a specific lineup that he would switch with. It's not going to be a the consistent thing. He said like something like red something.
I think it was Red Brothers. I forgot
what he said. But he said he's Red Brothers. Okay. That is
the Martin twins.
So, yeah. Okay.
So hopefully he shows a little bit of tact there. And we didn't like when we played PJ at the Five last season. Yeah, you know, we were switching a lot. We were, you know. So I mean, we've definitely got switchable defenders in the lineup. And Brigger has said he's going to be, you know, kind of smart with using it. But you know, he's got to show me something this season to dispel my current pessimism.
Well, yeah, that's you're here for the pessimism, and Pete's here for the optimism, and together, it balances out. So.
No, just to cite a tweet that I tweeted out earlier. I'm critical of Hornets analysis. I'm not pessimistic. I'm just if I see a turd, I'm not calling it chocolate. I'm calling it a turd. Like that's. I'm trying to lead us into like.
What followed was a blistering takedown of a Twitter account that may or may not have subtweeted James or Joseph, but may have been addressing someone completely unrelated to the show. Nevertheless, James's profanity-filled rant will forever live in the minds of those who heard it.
This is becoming weird.
Yeah, no, we'll edit all of that out. What was I?
I think we're talking about center rotation.
Center rotation.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I talked about. I mean, I didn't actually watch that part of the game. I'm not gonna lie. I like the idea. Like, I don't like it, but I like Cody. Hopefully, 28 minutes a game. Biz like 12. Hopefully 12 or less. And then PJ 8. I'm all for that. That's solid.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. But you know, you have to accept it.
Like, there's no necessary combination of things where you just have to move around pieces. It's become like this perfect scenario. But I think if you can look at it and say, you know, we're better, we're more versatile than we were last year, that's improvement. And then perhaps looking to retool later on in the year, if not next off season, which is, you know, completely fine.
Yeah. A lot of room for optimism here with, you know, just one preseason game and then a game that we didn't even win. So imagine what's going to happen tomorrow if we beat the Raptors. We're just going to be, it's going to be uncontrollable.
Oh, sure.
So, the way the fandom is going, it kind of reminds me of that, that meme that it's like the lady's like, I've never done anything wrong in my life, and the guy's like, I know this and I love you. You know what I'm talking about. There's two camps in Hornets fandom right now, and one of them feels that way about Monk, and one of them feels that way about LaMelo. And so it's going to be a lot of fun going forward. So,
I'm already a little bit sick of some of the discourse that I'm seeing about the Hornets. Like I'm seeing like the Martin twins looking off LaMelo Ball. Did you guys see that, by the way? Did you guys see the Martin twins deliberately ignore, freeze out LaMelo Ball?
No. I did not.
Like that is just totally against how they play. Like if you have ever watched them play, I think you would know that it's not.
I mean, it's just.
Like, it's just, you can get tunnel vision. LaMelo Ball literally has a floater where there were four guys collapsing him on the paint. He's a wizard passer. He had four, and they weren't, you know, Martin Twin, Bismack Biyombo space around the floor. It was Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges was at the top of the key, and it was a pick and pop action. So that is the obvious read to make. He shot a floater. It's okay. It does not mean he was freezing out Martin Twins, Jalen McDaniels, Miles Bridges. Like, that is the most ridiculous, offensive thing ever I've heard. And that's the thing. We're going to get people who've never watched Hornets basketball before this year flap their gums about Hornets basketball. It's going to be, oh, you know, Devontae Graham, oh, he can't finish inside the arc. You know, oh, start LaMelo Ball. Or it's going to be, oh, you know, Malik Monk, oh, he got blown by with this rip through move and he's a terrible defender. Get him off the court, play LaMelo Ball. Like, I'm a bit tilted.
I think it's just something we've got to deal with. I mean, it was part of the thing that we knew going in. We're going to have I love Hornets Twitter at the moment. It's just so diverse, and comments and stuff. And yeah, we're going to have some differentiating parties and whatever. But like, I'm not too fast. You know, I feel a lot of these guys will kind of fade off towards the end of the season, because realistically, LaMelo Ball isn't going to be lighting the league on fire immediately. He's very much a growth prospect, which we're hopefully nurturing into a higher position. But I think a lot of these guys expect to see him, you know, have a similar Ja Morant kind of season, which I just don't think is realistic. And when that doesn't happen,
that's probably true.
They might go off into the next, you know, hot prospect, whether that's, you know, Jalen Green or
Cole Anthony,
Amone Bates or something, or whatever it is.
Patrick Williams or Isaac Okoro.
Bates.
Oh, those guys I wasn't high on, so I don't know why I'm exposing myself there. But, you know, it's been... that's the old English grandpa stoic take that we do need to balance out my angry
young whippersnapper comments. I see you. Whippersnapper. Exactly. I don't think it's used enough.
Well said.
Wonderful term.
yes. It is not used much. No. Yeah.
Well, we'll be here to cover, you know, all of it, the rest of the preseason and the Charlotte Hornets regular season. We started this podcast after the regular season had abruptly ended last season, so we didn't even get to cover regular season basketball. So it's going to be exciting. All right. Well, we look forward to seeing everybody back. Leave us a subscribe and be sure to come back whenever we record next, as we'll probably finish up the preseason with Joseph. Goodbye.